This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of The Last Boyfriend by Nora Roberts, performed by McLeod Andrews. To Dan and Charlotte, for the trust that let you reach for one another, for the generosity and inclusiveness of that embrace, for the humor that brings light to your lives, and for the love so rich and bright, binding it all together. Love sought is good, but given unsought is better. Shakespeare. The heart has its reasons, which reason cannot know. Pascal. Chapter 1. A fat winter moon poured light over the old stone and brick of the inn on the square. In its beams, the new porches and pickets glowed, and the bright penny copper of the roof glinted. The old and new merged there, the past and the now, in a strong and happy marriage. Its windows stayed dark on this December night, prizing its secrets in shadows. But in a matter of weeks, they would shine like others along Boonesboro's main street. As he sat in his truck at the light on the square, Owen Montgomery looked up Main at the shops and apartments draped in their holiday cheer. Lights winked and danced. To his right, a pretty tree graced the big front window of the second-floor apartment. Their future innkeeper's temporary residence reflected her style. Precise elegance. Next Christmas, he thought, they'd have In Boonesboro covered with white lights and greenery, and Hope Beaumont would center her pretty little tree in the window of the innkeeper's apartment on the third floor. He glanced to his left, where Avery McTavish, owner of Vesta Pizzeria and Family Restaurant, had the restaurant's front porch decked out in lights. Her apartment above, formerly his brother Beckett's, also showed a tree in the window. Otherwise, the windows were as dark as the inn's. She'd be working tonight, he thought, noting the movement in the restaurant. He shifted, but couldn't see her behind the work counter. When the light changed, he turned right onto St. Paul Street, then left into the parking lot behind the inn, then sat in his truck a moment, considering. He could walk over to Vesta, he thought, have a slice and a beer, hang out until closing. Afterward, he could do his walkthrough of the inn. He didn't actually need to walk through, he reminded himself. But he hadn't been on site all day, as he'd been busy with other meetings, other details on other Montgomery family contractors' business. He didn't want to wait until morning to see what his brothers and the crew had accomplished that day. Besides, Vesta looked busy, and had barely 30 minutes till closing. Not that Avery would kick him out at closing. Probably. More than likely, she'd sit down and have a beer with him. Tempting, he thought. But he really should do that quick walk-through and get home. He needed to be on site, with his tools by 7. He climbed out of the truck and into the frigid air, already pulling out his keys. Tall like his brothers, with a build leaning toward rangy. He hunched in his jacket as he walked around the stone courtyard wall toward the doors of the lobby. His keys were color-coded, something his brothers called anal, and he deemed efficient. In seconds, he was out of the cold and into the building. He hit the lights, then just stood there, grinning like a moron. The decorative tile rug highlighted the span of the floor and added another note of charm to the softly painted walls with their custom, creamy wainscoting. Beckett had been right on target about leaving the sidewall exposed brick, and their mother had been dead on about the chandelier. Not fancy, not traditional, but somehow organic with its bronzy branches and narrow, flowing globes centered over that tile rug. He glanced right. noted the lobby restrooms with their fancy tiles and green-veined stone sinks had been painted. He pulled out his notebook, jotted down the need for a few touch-ups before he walked through the stone arch to the left. More exposed brick. Yeah, Beckett had a knack. The laundry room shelves showed ruthless organization. That would be Hope's hand. Her iron will had booted his brother Ryder out of his on-site office so she could start organizing. He paused at what would be Hope's office, saw his brother's mark there, the sawhorses and a sheet of plywood forming his rough desk, the fat white binder, the job Bible, some tools, cans of paint. Wouldn't be much longer, Owen calculated, before Hope kicked Ryder out again. He continued on, stopped to bask at the open kitchen. They'd installed the lights, the big iron fixture over the island, the smaller versions at each window. Warm wood cabinets, creamy accent pieces, smooth granite paid compliment to gleaming stainless steel appliances. He opened the fridge, started to reach for a beer. He'd be driving shortly, he reminded himself, and took a can of Pepsi instead before he made a note to call about installation of the blinds and window treatments. They were nearly ready for them. He moved on to reception, took another scan, grinned again. The mantle Ryder had created out of a thick old plank of barn wood suited the old brick and the deep open fireplace. At the moment, tarps, more paint cans, more tools crowded the space. He made a few more notes, wandering back, moving through the first arch, then paused on his way across the lobby to what would be the lounge, when he heard footsteps on the second floor. He walked through the next arch leading down the short hallway toward the stairs. He saw Luther had been hard at work on the iron rails and ran a hand over it as he started the climb.
Okay. Pretty damn gorgeous. Rye? You up here?
A door shut smartly, made him jump a little. His quiet blue eyes narrowed as he finished the climb. His brothers weren't against screwing with him, and damned if he'd give either of them an excuse to snicker.
Ho-ho! He said in mock fear. It must be the ghost. I'm so scared.
He made the turn toward the front of the building, saw that the door to Elizabeth and Darcy was indeed closed, unlike that of Titania and Oberon across from it. Very funny, he thought sourly. He crept toward the door, intending to shove it open, jump in, and possibly give whichever one of his brothers was playing games a jolt. He closed his hand on the curved handle, pulled it down smoothly, pushed. The door didn't budge.
Cut it out, asshole!
But he laughed a little in spite of himself, at least until the door flew open and both porch doors did the same. He smelled honeysuckle, sweet as summer on the rush of icy air.
Well, Jesus!
He'd mostly accepted they had a ghost. Mostly believed it. After all, there'd been incidents, and Beckett was adamant. Adamant enough he'd named her Elizabeth in honor of the room she preferred. But this was Owen's first personal, up-close, and unarguable experience. He stood, slack-jawed, as the bathroom door slammed, then flew open, then slammed again.
Okay, wow, okay. Sorry to intrude. I was just...
The door slammed in his face, or would have if he hadn't jumped back in time to avoid the bust to his nose.
Hey, come on! You've got to know me by now. I'm here almost every day. Owen? Beck's brother? Come in peace and all that.
The bathroom door slammed again and the sound made him wince.
Easy on the material, okay? What's the problem? I was just...
Oh, I get it. Clearing his throat, he pulled off his wool cap, raked his hands through his thick, bark-brown hair.
Listen,
I wasn't calling you an asshole. I thought it was Rye. You know my other brother, Ryder? He can be an asshole, you have to admit. And I'm standing in the hallway explaining myself to a ghost.
The door opened a crack. Cautiously, Owen eased it open.
I'm just going to close the porch doors. We really have to keep them closed.
He could admit, to himself, the sound of his own voice echoing in the empty room gave him the jitters, but he shoved the cap into his coat pocket as he moved to the far door, shut it, locked it. But when he got to the second door, he saw the lights shining in Avery's apartment over the restaurant. He saw her, or a flash of her, move by the window. The rush of air stilled. The scent of honeysuckle sweetened.
I've smelled you before, he murmured, still looking out at Avery's windows.
Beckett says you warned him the night that fucker, sorry for the language, Sam Fremont went after Claire. So, thanks for that.
They're getting married, Beck and Claire. You probably know that. He's been stuck on her most of his life.
He shut the door now, turned around.
So thanks again.
The bathroom door stood open now, so he caught his own reflection in the mirror with its curvy iron frame over the vanity. He had to admit, he looked a little wild-eyed, and the hair sticking up in tufts from the rake of his fingers added to the spooked image. Automatically, he shoved his fingers through again to try to calm it down.
I'm just going through the place, making notes. We're down to punch-out work, essentially. Not in here, though. This is done. I think the crew wanted to finish this room up. Some of them get a little spooked. No offense. So, I'm going to finish up and go. See you. Or not see you. But,
whatever, he decided, and backed out of the room. He spent more than 30 minutes moving from room to room, floor to floor, adding to his notes. A few times the scent of honeysuckle returned or a door opened. Her presence, and he couldn't deny it, seemed benign enough now. But he couldn't deny the faint sense of relief either as he locked up for the night. Frost crunched lightly under Owen's boots as he juggled coffee and donuts. A half hour before sunrise, he let himself back into the inn, headed straight to the kitchen to set down the box of donuts, the tray of takeout coffee, and his briefcase. To brighten the mood, and because it was there, he moved to reception, switched on the gas logs, pleased by the heat and light, he stripped off his gloves, folded them into the pockets of his jacket. Back in the kitchen, he opened his briefcase, took out his clipboard, and began to review, again, the agenda for the day. The phone on his belt beeped, signaling the time for the morning meeting. He'd finished half a glazed donut by the time he heard Ryder's truck pull in. His brother wore a Montgomery family contractor's cap, a thick, scarred work jacket, and his need-more-coffee scowl. Dumbass, Ryder's dog, patted in, sniffed the air, then looked longingly at the second half of Owen's donut. Ryder grunted, reached for a cup.
"That's Bex," Owen told him with barely a glance. "As is clear by the B I wrote on the side."
Ryder grunted again, took the cup marked R. After one long gulp, he eyed the donuts, opted for a jelly-filled. At the thump of DA's tail, Ryder tossed him a chunk.
"Beck's late," Owen commented.
"You're the one who decided we needed to meet up before dawn."
Ryder took a huge bite of donut, washed it down with coffee. He hadn't shaved, so a dark stubble covered the hard planes of his face. But his gold-flecked green eyes lost some of their sleepy scowl thanks to the caffeine and sugar.
"Too many interruptions once the crew's here. I looked around some on my way home last night."
"You had a good day." "Damn straight. We'll finish punch out on the third floor this morning. Some trim and crown molding. Some lights and those damn heated towel racks still to go in a couple rooms on two. Luther's moving on the rails and banisters."
"So I saw,"
I've got some notes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have more, I expect, when I finish going over 2 and head up to 3.
Why wait?
Ryder grabbed a second donut, started out. He tossed another chunk without bothering to glance at the dog, who trotted with him. Dumbass fielded it with golden gloves precision.
Beckett's not here.
Dude's got a woman, Ryder pointed out, and 3 kids. School morning. He'll be here when he is, and can catch up.
There's some paint needs touching up down here, Owen began.
I got eyes, too.
I'm going to have them come in and install the blinds throughout. If 3 gets punched out today, I can have them start on the window treatments by early next week.
The men cleaned up, but it's construction clean. It needs a real cleaning, a polish. You need to get the innkeeper on that.
I'll be talking to Hope this morning. I'm going to talk county into letting us start load in.
Ryder slanted a look at his brother.
We've got another 2 weeks, easy, and that's not counting the holidays.
But Owen, as usual, had a plan.
We can get 3 done, Rye. Start working our way down. You think Mom and Carolee, not to mention Hope, aren't going to be running around buying more stuff once we get things in place?
I do figure it. We don't need them underfoot any more than they already are.
They heard a door open from below as they rounded up to the 3rd floor.
On 3,
Owen called down.
Coffee's in the kitchen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus didn't buy the coffee.
Owen brushed his fingers over the oil-rubbed bronzed oval plaque engraved Innkeeper.
Classy touch. The place is full of them.
Ryder gulped more coffee as they stepped inside.
It looks good.
Owen nodded as he toured through, into and out of the little kitchen, the bath, circling the 2 bedrooms. It's a nice, comfortable space. Pretty and efficient, like our innkeeper.
She's damn near as pain-in-the-ass fussy as you are.
Remember who keeps you in donuts, bro.
At the word donuts, D.A. wagged his entire body.
You're done, pal,
Ryder told him, and with a doggy sigh, D.A. sprawled on the floor. Owen glanced over as Beckett came up the steps. He'd shaved, Owen noted, and looked bright-eyed, maybe a little wild-eyed, as he imagined most men did with 3 kids under the age of 10 and the school morning chaos that created. He remembered his own school mornings well enough, and wondered how his parents had resisted doing major drugs.
One of the dogs puked in Murphy's bed, Beckett announced. I don't want to talk about it. Works for me. Owen's talking about window treatments and loading in.
Beckett paused as he gave Dumbass a quick head rub.
We've still got trim to run, painting, punch out. Not up here.
Owen crossed to the first of their 2 suites, the penthouse.
We could outfit this suite. Hope could move her stuff in across the hall. How about Wesley and Buttercup?
It's done. We hung the bathroom mirror and lights yesterday.
Then I'll tell Hope to break out the mop, get this level shined up.
Though he trusted Ryder, he'd check the room himself.
She's got the list of what goes where, so she can run down to Bast, tell them what to deliver up here.
He made notes on his clipboard. Shipment of towels and linens, purchase of light bulbs, and so on. Behind his back, Beckett and Ryder exchanged looks.
I guess we're loading in.
I don't know who we is, Ryder corrected. It's not me or the crew. We've got to finish the damn place.
Don't bitch at me,
Beckett held up his hands.
I've got to make the changes to the bakery project next door if we're going to shift the crew from here to there without much of a lag.
I could use a lag,
Ryder muttered, but headed down behind Owen. Owen paused at Elizabeth and Darcy, gave the propped open door a study.
Beckett, you might want to talk to your pal Lizzie, make sure she keeps this door open, and the terrace door shut.
It is open, they are shut.
Now they are. She got a little peeved last night.
Intrigued, Beckett lifted his brows.
Is that so?
I guess I had my personal close encounter. I did a walkthrough last night. Heard somebody up here. I figured it for one of you messing with me. She thought I called her an asshole and let me know she didn't care for it. Beckett's grin spread wide and quick. She's got a temper. Tell me. We made up, I think. But in case she holds a grudge.
We're done in here, too, Ryder told him. And in T&O. We've got to run the crown molding and baseboard in N&N, and there's some touch-up in E&R, and the bathroom ceiling light in there. It came in, finally, yesterday. J&R in the back's full of boxes. Lamps, lamps, more lamps, shelves, and God knows. But it's punched out. I've got a list, too.
Ryder tapped his head while the dog walked over to sit at his side.
I just don't have to write every freaking thing down in 10 places.
Robe hooks, towel racks, TP dispensers, Owen began.
On the slate for today.
Mirrors, flat screens, switch plates and outlet covers, door bumpers.
On the slate, Owen.
You've got the list of what goes where?
Nobody likes a nag, Sally.
Exit signs need to go up,
Owen continued working down his list as he walked to the dining room.
Wall sconces in here. The boxes we built for the fire extinguishers need to be painted and installed.
Once you shut up, I can get started.
Brochures, website, advertising, finalizing room rates, packages, room folders.
Not my job.
Exactly. Count your friggin' blessings. How much longer for the revised plans on the bakery project?
Owen asked Beckett.
I'll have them to the permit office tomorrow morning.
Good deal.
He took out his phone, switched it to calendar.
Let's nail it down. I'm going to tell Hope to open reservations for January 15th. We can have the grand opening deal on the 13th, give us a day for putting it all back together. Then we're up.
That's less than a month,
Ryder complained.
You know, and Beck knows, and I know there's less than 2 weeks' work left here. You'll be done before Christmas. If we start the load in this week, we'll be done by the 1st, and there's no reason we won't get the use and occupancy right after the holidays. That gives 2 weeks to fiddle and fuss, work out any kinks, with Hope living here.
I'm with Owen on this. We're sliding downhill now, Rye.
Stuffing his hands in his pockets, Ryder shrugged.
It's weird, maybe. Just weird thinking about actually being done.
Cheer up, Owen told him. A place like this, we're never going to be done.
On his nod, Ryder heard the back door open. Shut. The sound of heavy boots on tile.
We've got crew. Get your tools.
Owen kept busy and happy, running crown molding. He didn't mind the regular interruptions to answer a call, return a text, read an email. His phone served as a tool to him as much as his nail gun. The building buzzed with activity, echoed with voices and Ryder's job radio. It smelled of paint and fresh-cut wood, strong coffee. The combination said Montgomery Family Contractors to him, and never failed to remind him of his father. Everything he'd learned about carpentry and the building trade, he'd learned from his dad. Now, stepping off the ladder to study the work, he knew his father would be proud. They'd taken the old building with its sagging porches and broken windows, its scarred walls and broken floors, and had transformed it into a jewel on the town square. Beckett's vision, he thought. Their mother's imagination and canny eye. Ryder's sweat and skill, and his own focus on detail, combined with a solid crew, had transformed what had been an idea batted around the kitchen table into reality. He set down his nail gun, rolled his shoulder as he turned around the room. Yeah, his mother's canny eye, he thought again. He could admit he'd balked at her scheme of pale aqua walls and chocolate brown ceiling until he'd seen it finished. Glamour was the word of the day for Nick and Nora. And it reached its pinnacle in the bath. That same color scheme, including a wall of blue glass tiles, contrasting with brown on brown, all sparkling under crystal lights. Chandelier in the John, he thought, with a shake of his head. It sure as hell worked. Nothing ordinary or hotel-like about it, he mused. Not when Justine Montgomery took charge. He thought this room, with its deco flair, might be his favorite. His phone alarm told him it was time to start making some calls of his own. He went out, then headed toward the back door for the porch as Luther worked on the rails leading down. Gritting his teeth, he jogged through the cold and bitter wind across the covered porch, down to ground level, then ducked in through reception.
"Fucking A, it's cold!"
the radio blasted, nail guns thumped. And no way, he decided, would he try to do business with all this noise. He grabbed his jacket, his briefcase. He ducked into the lounge where Beckett sat on the floor running trim.
"I'm heading over to Vesta."
"It's shy of 10, they're not open."
"Exactly."
Outside, Owen hunched against the cold at the light, cursed the fact that traffic, such as it was, paced and spaced itself so he couldn't make the dash across Maine. He waited it out, his breath blowing icy clouds until the walk light flashed. He jogged diagonally, ignored the closed sign on the glass front door of the restaurant, and pounded. He saw lights on, but no movement. Once again, he took out his phone, punched Avery's number from memory.
"Damn it, Owen, now I've got dough on my phone."
"So you are in there. Open up before I get frostbite."
"Damn it,"
she repeated, then cut him off. But seconds later he saw her, white bib apron over jeans and a black sweater with sleeves shoved to her elbows. Her hair, what the hell color was it now? It struck him as very close to the bright new penny copper of the inn's roof. She'd started changing it a few months back, going with most everything but her natural Scott Warrior Queen red. She'd hacked it short, too, he recalled, though it had grown long enough again for her to yank it back in a tiny stub when she worked. Her eyes, as bright a blue as her hair was copper, glared at him as she turned the locks.
"What do you want?" she demanded. "I'm in the middle of prep."
"I just want the room and the quiet.
You won't even know I'm here."
He sidled in, just in case she tried to shut the door on him.
"I can't talk on the phone with all the noise across the street, and I have to make some calls."
She narrowed those blue eyes at his briefcase, so he tried a winning smile.
"Okay, maybe I have a little paperwork. I'll sit at the counter. I'll be very, very quiet."
"Oh, all right, but don't bother me."
"Just before you go back, you wouldn't happen to have any coffee?" "No, I wouldn't happen to have. I'm prepping dough, which is now on my new phone. I worked closing last night, and Franny called in sick at 8 this morning. She sounded like somebody ran her larynx through a meat grinder. I had 2 wait staff out with the same thing last night, which means I'll probably be on from now to closing. Dave can't work tonight because he's getting a root canal at 4, and I've got a bus tour coming in at 12:30.
Because she'd snapped the words out in little whiplashes, Owen just nodded.
"Okay. Just," she gestured toward the long counter, "do whatever."
She rushed back to the kitchen on bright green Nikes. He'd have offered to help, but he could tell she wasn't in the mood. He knew her moods. He'd known her forever, and recognized harried, impatient, and stressed. She'd roll with it, he thought. She always did. The sassy little redhead from his childhood. The former Boonesboro High cheerleader, co-captain with Beckett's Claire, had become a hard-working restaurateur who made exceptional pizza. She'd left a light, lemony scent behind her, along with a frisson of energy. He heard the faint thump and rattle of her work as he took a stool at the counter. He found it soothing and somewhat rhythmic. He opened his briefcase, took out his iPad, his clipboard, unclipped his phone from his belt. He made his calls, sent emails, texts, reworked his calendar, calculated. He steeped himself in the details, surfacing when a coffee mug slid under his nose. He looked up into Avery's pretty face.
Thanks. You didn't have to bother. I won't be long.
Owen, you've already been here 40 minutes.
Really? Lost track. You want me to go?
Doesn't matter.
Though she pressed a fist into the small of her back, she spoke easily now.
I've got it under control.
He caught another scent, and glancing to the big stove, saw she'd put her sauces on. The red hair, milk-white skin, and dash of freckles might declare her Scott heritage, but her marinara was as gloriously Italian as an Armani suit. He'd often wondered where she'd gotten the knack and the drive, but both seemed as innate a part of her as her big, bold blue eyes. Crouching, she opened the cooler under the counter for tubs and began filling the topping containers.
Sorry about Franny.
Me too. She's really sick. And Dave's miserable. He's only coming in for a couple hours this afternoon because I'm so short-handed. I hate asking him.
He studied her face as she worked. Now that he really looked, he noted the pale purple shadows under her eyes.
You look tired.
She shot him a disgusted look over the tub of black olives.
Thanks. That's what every girl loves to hear.
Then she shrugged.
I am tired. I thought I'd sleep in this morning. Franny would open. I'd come in about 11:30. Not much of a commute since I moved right upstairs, so I watched some Jimmy Fallon, finished a book I've been trying to squeeze out time to read all week. I didn't go down until nearly 2. Then Franny calls at 8. 6 hours isn't bad, unless you worked a double and you're going to work another.
Bright side? Business is good.
I'll think about bright side after the bus tour. Anyway, enough. How's it going at the inn?
So good, we're going to start loading in the third floor tomorrow.
Loading in what?
Furniture, Avery. She set down the tub, goggled at him.
Seriously? Seriously?
The inspector's going to take a look this afternoon. Give us the go or no. I'm saying go because there's no reason for no. I just talked to Hope. She's going to start cleaning up there. My mother and my aunt are coming in. Maybe are in already since it's going on 11 now, to pitch in.
I wanted to do that. I can't.
Don't worry about that. We've got plenty of hands.
I wanted mine to be 2 of them. Maybe tomorrow, depending on sickness and root canals. Jeez, Owen, this is major.
She did a little heel-toe dance on her green high tops.
And you wait almost an hour to spill it?
You were too busy bitching at me.
If you'd spilled, I'd have been too excited to bitch. Your own fault.
She smiled at him. Pretty Avery McTavish with the tired eyes.
Why don't you sit down for a few minutes?
I've got to keep moving today, like a shark.
She snapped the lid on the tub, replaced it, then went over to check her sauces. He watched her work. She always seemed to be doing half a dozen things at once, like a constant juggling act with balls hanging in the air, others bouncing madly until she managed to grab and toss them again. It amazed his organized mind.
I'd better get back. Thanks for the coffee.
No problem. If any of the crew's thinking about lunch here today, tell them to wait until 1:30. The rush will be over.
Okay.
He gathered his things, then paused at the door.
Avery?
What color is that?
The hair.
This? Copper penny.
He grinned, shook his head.
I knew it.
See you later.
Chapter 2 Owen strapped his tool belt on, checked his punch-out list against Ryder's.
The third floor's full of women, Ryder told him, with an edge of bitterness.
Are they naked?
Mom's one of them.
Okay, scratch the naked.
Mom, Carolee, the innkeeper. Claire might still be up there.
Dude, they're a swarm. One of them keeps buzzing down here asking questions.
Ryder grabbed his Gatorade off the kitchen island where he'd spread out plans and lists, since Hope had booted him out of her projected office space.
Since you're the one who opened the gates there, you're the one who's going to answer all the damn questions. And where the hell were you?
I left word. I went over to Avery's so I could make some calls. Inspector's going to take a look at the third floor to clear the load end there. He'll check out the rest while he's here. Furniture for up there is set, and they'll start hauling it in, setting it up in the morning. Window blind installs set. They'll start upstairs this afternoon. You want the rest?
You're giving me a headache.
That's why I make the calls. I can start running trim on two.
Third floor. Ryder drilled a finger into Owen's chest. Women. All yours, brother.
Fine, fine.
He wanted to work, to slide into the rhythm of nail guns, hammers, drills, men. But he went back outside, cursed the cold as he rounded back and jogged up the stairs, and entered the world of women. He smelled perfume and lotion and lemon-scented cleanser, and heard women's voices over the din echoing up from below. He found his mother on her hands and knees, scrubbing the floor of the shower stall in the penthouse. She'd bundled her dark hair up, shoved up the sleeves of a baggy gray sweatshirt. Her jeans-clad butt swayed side to side to whatever played on her headphones. Owen walked around the glass, hunkered down. She didn't jolt. He'd always believed her claim of having eyes in the back of her head. Justine just lifted her head, smiled at him as she sat back on her heels and took off the headset. She said,
"Hot damn.
You ready for this, Mom?"
"I've been ready. We'll get her shined up, though I'd forgotten just how grimy construction dirt is. We split up. Carolee's back in Wesley and Buttercup, and Hope's dealing with her apartment. Claire's going to give us some time this afternoon."
"I was just over at Vesta. Avery's got a bus tour coming in, and Franny's out sick. She wanted to be in on this."
Owen studied the bucket of soapy water.
"God knows why."
"It's satisfying work, in its way." "Look at this place, Owen."
Shoving a couple of loose pins back in her hair, she glanced around.
"Look at what you and your brothers did here."
"What we and our mom did,"
he corrected, and made her smile again.
"You're so damn right about that. Since you're here, take the shelves out of that box. One's going right up there, the other right over there."
She pointed.
"There are shelves in here?"
"There will be when you put them up. Then you might get one of the crew to give you a hand. Hang the mirror in the bedroom. When you're ready, I'll show you how I want it."
"Wait, let me write this down."
"Just do the little shelves, and I'll walk you through the rest."
He got to use his tools after all. Maybe not the way he preferred, with a list, items in prioritized order waiting to be checked off. But he used his tools. When he'd installed the decorative shelves, he drafted one of the crew to help him carry in the big wall mirror with its ornate gilded frame. Justine stood, hands on hips, adjusting its position with a little to the left, a little higher, no, lower. Owen marked, measured, drilled, while she went back to her scrubbing.
"It's up,"
he called out.
"Hold on a sec."
He heard the whoosh of water as she emptied her bucket. When she stepped out again, she once more fisted her hands on her hips.
"I love it."
Walking to him, she stood so the mirror reflected both of them. With a grin, she put her arm around his waist.
"It's perfect. Thanks, Owen. Go on over and get Hope, would you? She knows what needs to go up downstairs. I've got another acre of tile to clean."
"I can hire a cleaning service."
She shook her head.
"This stage is for family."
He supposed that made Hope Beaumont family. She and his mother had hit it off, Owen thought as he crossed the hall. Right from the first beat. The former beauty queen stood on a step stool in the apartment kitchen polishing the cabinet doors. She'd tied a bandana around her dark hair. had a rag hanging out of the back pocket of jeans flecked with white paint and nearly worn through on the right knee. She glanced around at him, blew out a breath that fluttered her spiky bangs.
It didn't look as dirty as it was.
Construction dirt gets into everything.
He wondered if he should tell her she'd be sucking and mopping it up for days, maybe weeks. She'd find out for herself, he decided.
Making progress, he said instead.
We really are.
She sat on the stool a moment, took a bottle of water from the countertop and twisted off the top.
Are we really going to have furniture up here tomorrow?
It's looking good for it,
she sipped, smiled. She had a smoky voice that suited the sultry looks, all big dark eyes, full, shapely mouth. It didn't hurt, he supposed, to have a looker as innkeeper, but more to the point, much more important to him, her level of organization and efficiency marched along with his own.
If you've got a minute, Mom said there were some things you wanted to put up on the second floor.
And the first, if we can squeeze it in. The more shipping boxes we empty, the easier it'll be to clean, and the smoother the load-in should go.
That's a good point.
The woman, he thought, spoke his language.
I'm your man. Anything you need done in here?
I've got some shelves I need to hang.
Oh, well, he thought. It was the day of the shelves.
I'll hang them for you.
I'd appreciate it. They're over at the other apartment. I can get them later.
I can send somebody over for them.
Sure, if you can spare someone.
But we can deal with what's on site first. I've got everything Justine wants hung back in J&R. His language, he thought again.
Want a coat? He asked as she got off the stool.
I'll be fine. It's a quick trip.
But she pulled the sleeves of her sweatshirt down to her wrists.
I talked to Avery this morning,
she continued as they walked toward the back of the building.
She's frazzled with so many of her crew out. I'd hoped to go over, give her a hand tonight, but it looks like we're going to be in here most of the evening.
When they went out, she slapped a hand on her bandana before the wind whipped it off.
As cold as it is, I'll bet she's slammed with deliveries tonight. Who wants to go out in this?
She nipped into Jane and Rochester, rubbed her hands together.
So, we can hit W and B first, or since we're right here, we could work back to front on the second floor, starting here with the bathroom shelves and mirror.
She tapped the carefully labeled boxes.
Bathroom mirror.
She ran through the items for each room, working down to the first floor.
That ought to keep me busy. Let's save steps, start where we are.
Good. Why don't I show you where everything goes, then get out of your way? You can send someone up for me if you have any questions.
Taking a folding knife out of her pocket, she slid open a resealed shipping box.
I like a woman who carries her own knife.
I've filled out my tools since I moved here. I nearly bought my own nail gun, then realized I'd gone too far.
She took out two curved copper shelves.
So I compensated with more office supplies. What is it about new file folders and color-coordinated post-its?
Preaching to the choir.
They chatted amiably as she directed the height, the space, as he measured, leveled, and drilled.
It's perfect. Look how the antique gold of the mirror frame plays off the tiles, and the copper of the tub, the shelves. Wait until Justine sees this.
Turning a circle, she aimed for the bedroom again.
I can't wait to dress this room. All the rooms, with the fireplace and that amazing bed going in here. I think it's going to be one of our most popular.
She pulled a notebook out of her pocket, checked off items, made notes. He grinned when she tucked it away again.
It's nice to have somebody on my team for a change.
Writing things down saves time in the long run.
Again, preaching to the choir.
Together they gathered boxes, carried them to the porch door and through. Hope started into Eve and Rourke and nearly walked straight into Ryder.
Mom wants the ceiling light up.
Where the hell is it?
I'm carrying it, Owen told him.
Then you install it.
That's the plan. Hope's got some things over at her apartment for her place upstairs. Why don't you go over and get them?
I can get them later,
Hope began.
What are they? Where are they?
Shelves, wall shelves, bath and living room. They're in marked boxes in my storeroom, in the second bedroom, she amended. I'm using it as a storeroom.
I'll take care of it.
You need the key,
she said, when he started to walk away.
She reached into her front pocket, offered it. He stuffed it in his own pocket.
Have you got those door rack hook things in those boxes?
Some of them, Owen answered.
Get them up, for God's sake. I don't want to hear about them anymore. Where's the one for the ADA room?
Because her arms were starting to ache, Hope set down her boxes.
In Jane and Rochester, on the wall facing St. Paul, and a box clearly marked M and P, clothes bar. If you're getting that, you might want to take down the two boxes in the same area marked M and P bathroom wall shelves. But don't put them up unless either I'm there or your mother. And we want a small corner shelf beside the sink in M and P.
She took out her notebook, flipped pages.
These are the dimensions, the basic concept.
Ryder narrowed his eyes at it, then at her.
Why?
Because, due to the ADA codes, the layout of the room, we don't really have a surface for something as basic as a toothbrush. Now we will.
Give me the damn paper.
Hope tore it off.
I'm sure Owen or Beckett or one of the crew could take care of it if you're too busy.
He just stuffed the paper into his pocket and walked away.
Are you sure he's your brother?
Hope muttered. Pretty sure. He's a little stressed with punching out here so we can make the deadline, writing the work on Beck's house, getting the demo finished next door for the bakery.
It's a lot,
Hope conceded.
Why aren't you stressed? You've got the same meal on your plate.
Different categories, I guess. I don't have to boss. I get to negotiate.
He set the shipping box on the floor of the bathroom. Considering, Hope unboxed the little glass shelf.
Just a small thing, the kind of detail no one will really notice.
Unless it wasn't there.
Like a place for your toothbrush, she smiled, then tapped the wall. Right here. If you don't need me, I'll go back up until you do.
Hope slipped into Wesley and Buttercup on her way, found Carolee busily mopping the bedroom floor.
Carolee, the bathroom looks great. It sparkles.
Justine's sister, her cheeks pink with effort, pushed at her blonde hair.
I swear I haven't cleaned that hard in years, but it's worth it. I keep thinking I'm going to work here. I'm going to come into this room all the time. You need me for anything, boss?
Hope laughed.
You're outpacing me. I stopped to get Owen going on the shelves and so on. I'm just going to see how Justine's doing. Then I'll be in my apartment. My innkeeper's apartment. Oh, I nearly forgot. If you've got any time over the next couple days, I want to go over the reservation program with you one more time, because we're going to start taking reservations.
Oh, boy.
Carolee waved her hands in the air in triumph.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
She felt the same way, Hope thought, as she hustled back inside. She hadn't been so excited over a job since she'd first started at the Wickham Hotel in Georgetown. Not a good comparison, she reminded herself, considering how that had turned out. And yet the debacle with Jonathan Wickham and her decision to resign as manager had opened the door for her to In Boonesboro. A beautiful building, beautifully appointed in a charming town, with her two closest friends nearby. No. She'd never been quite this excited over a job. She peeked into the penthouse, saw Justine sitting on the wide windowsill of the parlor, looking out at Main Street.
Taking a break, Justine told her. That bathroom is huge, and I've got no one to blame but myself for that. I'll finish it up. It's done, but I think we'll give it one more going over before the grand opening party. I was just sitting here thinking how this place looked when I first dragged the boys in to look it over. My God. And I'm thinking, too, how pleased and proud Tommy would be. And how he's probably a little pissed off he didn't get to hammer in a few nails. He taught his sons how to hammer them. So he's had as much a part in creating this as they have. Justine's eyes softened. That's a good thing to say. Just the right thing. She held out a hand, giving Hopes a tug when they joined. I wish it would snow. I want to see how it looks in the snow. Then in the spring and the summer, on into the fall. I want to see it shine here in every season. I'll keep it beautiful for you. I know you will. You'll be happy here, Hope. I want you to be happy here. To have everyone who comes to stay happy here. I'm already happy here.
Happier than she'd been in a long time, Hope thought, as she went back to polishing her kitchen cabinets. She had an opportunity to do good work for good people. She tipped her head as she studied the cabinets. And to reward herself, she'd pop over to the gift store before closing and buy those gorgeous bowls she'd had her eye on. A little personal housewarming gift. Ryder carted in boxes.
What is it with women and shelves? He demanded. How many linear feet of flat surface does one person need?
That would depend, she said coolly, on how many things that person chooses to display.
Dust catchers.
Dust catchers to some, mementos and personal style to others.
Where the hell do you want your flat surfaces for your mementos and personal style? I haven't got all day.
Just leave them. I'll deal with them later.
Fine.
He set them on the floor, turned. His mother stood in the doorway, arms folded, giving him a look that still made his shoulders hunch and his balls shrink up a little.
I apologize for my son, Hope. He's obviously misplaced his manners inside his crappy mood. It's nothing. Ryder's busy. Everyone's busy today. Busy doesn't serve as an excuse for rude, does it, Ryder?
No, ma'am. I'd be happy to hang your shelves, he said to Hope, if you'll show me where you want them.
That's better. Justine gave him one last hard look before she went back across the hall.
Well, Ryder demanded, where am I putting them?
The suggestion I have at the moment wouldn't be the walls. His grin came fast and bright, surprising her.
Since I don't have any mementos I'd like to stick up my ass, how about a second choice?
Just leave them there, and you...
She pointed toward the door. Gauging her, he hooked his thumbs in his tool belt.
I'm not afraid of you, but I'm afraid of her. I don't hang these... She'll make me pay for it, so I'm not leaving until you pick your spots.
They're already marked.
What's marked?
I measured the shelves, I measured the space, I marked the areas.
She gestured to the space between her front windows, then toward the bathroom.
I think you can take it from there.
Tossing down her polishing rag, she sailed out. She'd help Owen until his bad-tempered brother finished. Avery kept up with the progress across Maine by texts and a quick drop-in from Claire. With the bus tour finished and the rush quieted, she took a short break in the back dining room to scarf down some pasta. For now, the video machines stayed silent. She calculated another hour or two before kids slid in after school to set them beeping and banging. The quarters added up, she reminded herself.
I really wanted to get over, just for a minute, to see.
She gulped down Gatorade. Energy, she thought. She needed all she could get to finish it out till closing.
Hope sent me some pictures over the phone. I couldn't give them any real time either. The bus tour swarmed us, too. God bless them, everyone.
Claire smiled, picked at her own salad.
Beckett told me the inspector gave the thumbs up on the load-in. All of it.
All of it?
It's nothing but details now, and he'll be back, but he said they could start bringing everything in. Hope can't move in, of course, but we can really start setting things up.
Sulking, Avery stabbed at pasta.
I'm not going to be left out of this.
Avery, it'll take days. Weeks, really.
I want to play now.
Then she blew out her breath.
Okay, not now, because my feet are already killing me. But tomorrow, maybe.
She stuffed in more pasta.
Look at you. You look so happy.
I'm happier every day. Yoda threw up in Murphy's bed this morning.
That's reason to celebrate, all right.
Definitely not, but Murphy came running for Beckett. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I'd be happy not to be on dog puke detail.
It's a factor. Claire's eyes danced. But what really makes me happy is how the boys love Beckett. How they trust him. How he's part of us now.
I'm getting married, Avery. I'm so lucky to love and marry two incredible men in one lifetime.
I think you got my share. You should really give me Beck.
Nope, I'm keeping him.
Her sunny ponytail danced when she shook her head.
Pick one of the others.
Maybe I should get both of them. I could use two sets of hands tonight. And I still have Christmas shopping. Why do I always think I'll have more time?
Because you always manage to find a way to make the time.
Have you said anything to the Montgomerys about the space across the street?
Not yet. Still mulling.
You didn't tell Beckett?
I said I wouldn't.
But it's hard. I'm getting used to telling him everything.
Love. Love. Sappy love.
Avery sighed, wiggled her tired toes. At times like this, it seems like a crazy idea anyway.
But
you could do it, and do it right.
You're just saying that because I could.
Avery laughed, and some of the fatigue fell away from her face.
And you love me. I've got to get back to work.
Are you going over to the inn?
Lori and Charlene have the store covered. I thought I'd give them an hour or so. Then I have to pick up the boys.
Send me more pictures.
I will.
Claire rose, pulled a wool cap over her sleek blonde hair, shrugged a coat over her willowy frame.
Get some sleep, sweetie.
Won't be a problem. The minute we're closed, I'm going upstairs and falling flat on my face for 8 straight. See you tomorrow.
I've got it,
Avery said when Claire reached for the dishes. I'm heading back to the kitchen anyway. She waved Claire off, rolled her aching shoulders, then went back to work. By 7, she was in the zone, sliding pizzas into the oven and out again, boxing them for delivery, passing them to waitstaff for table service. Her place buzzed with activity. And that was a good thing, she reminded herself. She dished up pasta, plated burgers and fries, glanced at the boy who sat at the counter playing the Megatouch as if it comprised his world. She hustled back to the closed kitchen for more supplies just as Owen walked in. He took one look around, frowned when he didn't see her behind the counter.
"Where's Avery?" he asked a waitress.
"She's around. The high school chorus decided to come in for pizza after practice. We're slammed. She must be in the back."
"Okay."
He didn't think about it. Just went over to the cash register, grabbed one of the order pads, and headed for the back dining room. When he came out, she stood at the counter, cheeks flushed from the heat, ladling sauce on dough.
"Orders from the back," he told her, slapping the slips in place. "I'll get the drinks."
She spread mozzarella, added toppings, watched him. You could count on Owen, she thought. Through the paper thin to the brick thick, you could count on him. For the next 3 hours, she did whatever came next. Baked spaghetti, Warrior's pizza, eggplant parm, calzone, gyro. By 10, it was like being in a trance, cashing out, cleaning counters, shutting down the ovens.
"Get a beer," she told Owen. "You earned it."
"Why don't you sit down?"
"I will when we finish closing."
When the last of her crew left, when she'd locked the door, she turned. A glass of red sat on the counter beside a slice of pepperoni pizza. Owen sat on a stool with a glass and slice of his own. God, yes. You could always count on Owen.
"Now sit down," he ordered.
Now I will. Thanks. Really, Owen, thanks.
It's kind of fun when you don't have to do it every day.
It's kind of fun even then, mostly.